Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
In 1986, Omaima Nelson moved to the United States from Egypt and started working as a model and nanny.
While out at a bar, Omaima met Bill Nelson, and despite him being 33 years older than her, within a few months they were married.
However, their married life didn't seem to get off to a good start, and Omaima claimed that he quickly turned violent and abusive.
It all came to a head when in Thanksgiving 1991, Omaima showed up at her ex's house claiming that Bill had attacked her and she had been forced to kill him in self-defense.
Did she really act in self-defense, or was this an act of premeditated murder?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games. Until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving? Belated? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. It's Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. We're, of course, your partners, Wine, Crime, Time. We're in your ear for the next hour. And we got some things to talk about.
Yeah, all I can say is yikes for this one.
Yeah.
I started off by Googling like Thanksgiving murders because,
you know, getting
kind
seasonal.
I did want to be like seasonal.
Yeah.
I had remembered there was some Thanksgiving murder where like someone killed their whole family or something, but I couldn't find that one because I got distracted by this case, which is like truly one of the wildest things that we've ever witnessed.
When I read an article and it was like four pages, after the first page, I was like, okay, well, it cannot get crazier than that. And then I was like, okay, it can't get crazier than page two. And then at the end of it, I feel like I had 10 minutes of just staring at my wall, unpacking and just like coming to terms with what I read.
Seriously, this honestly feels like it's made up. Like it's just so out there.
It's very life. I'm like, is this, how is this not a Lifetime movie?
I mean, I'm sure it is. Like, I bet Lifetime had a field day with this one.
That is very... Oh, I'm sure they have just one, like, an annual repeat of it.
Seriously. And it is a Snapped episode, but I wasn't able to see it because I think they took it off the Oxygen app. But it's season 14, episode 1. Mm-hmm. If anybody watches it, let us know how it is.
Kick it off. Yeah, keep us boosted.
Yeah. But so today we're going to be talking about Omaima Nelson and the murder of her husband, Bill Nelson. It's really graphic, so if you are squeamish, this one's not for you.
Mm-hmm. We got some good MLMs for you. Just go back and listen to some of those.
I was going to say there's like mention of abuse, sexual abuse, cannibalism. So just be warned, and we do not take offense if you are going to just be like, nope, I'm an open out right now. But Omaima Nelson was born in 1968 in southern Egypt. According to her attorney, her father was violent and had a very bad temper. And there isn't much known about her upbringing except for the bad parts, basically. So her parents divorced and then they moved to this area of Cairo that was called the City of the Dead because it was surrounded by graveyards. Yeah, and then
it's interesting it's interesting Zillow, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely interesting Zillow. And then also she was subjected to genital mutilation when she was 7, which would make sex very painful. Danny, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a contestant on America's Next Top Model like years and years ago who'd basically had the same thing happen to her. So I don't know, it made me think of that.
Because, I mean, they're both, she ends up being a model as well. That is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. So then in 1986, she came to the United States and started working as a nanny and a model in California. In 1991, she met a man by the name of Bill Nelson at a bar playing pool. And according to a journalist who was on Snapped, Nelson had like a really big presence The senior deputy DA in the case later told Snap that Nelson drove a red Corvette. He wore red cowboy boots.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting. And he just had like a big personality and was kind of like flamboyant.
I mean, that are you, red cowboy boots kind of just makes you inherently flamboyant, I feel.
Yeah, I'm with that. I don't normally match my shoes to my car, but hey.
But you know what? To each their own.
Yeah, you know.
If I had a car, maybe I would.
Right, that's true. If I had a red Corvette, why not? Here's what's interesting. Bill used to be a pilot, but in 1984, he was convicted on charges for related to smuggling marijuana. And he served 4 years in a federal penitentiary and was released on parole. So then he got a job at a company called Cannon Mortgage. Now, Bill also claimed that he had a big cattle ranch in Texas. Unclear.
Goes with the boots?
It does go with the boots. He also had 5 kids and 17 grandkids. And some of those kids were actually older than Omaima, which stands to reason because when they met, he was like 56 and she was 23. So after they met, they got married a short time later. Some outlets said it was a month. Some say it was 2 months. In any case, it was a matter of weeks and
not enough time to, yes.
I feel like not enough time to really assess who you're marrying. I'll say that.
Yeah, to look at the red flags of the red cowboy boots.
Seriously. So they ended up driving to Phoenix and found a justice of the peace. That was like how they got married. And then they pretty soon after went on a honeymoon, which was just like driving around the country to meet Bill's family. They went to Texas and Arkansas. And I don't know, not super surprisingly for a couple that got married like a few weeks after meeting. It pretty quickly after that, Omaima says that things turned bad. She said that once she got married, Bill began to turn violent, both physically and emotionally. And so, like I mentioned, right before Thanksgiving in 1991, they went on this trip to like meet Bill's family in a couple states. And Omaima claimed that on their way back to California, Bill abused her and also threw her cat out the window of the car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So basically, once they got back to their apartment in California, Omaima said that Bill sexually assaulted her, tried to rape her and strangle her. And she claimed that in self-defense, she grabbed a lamp and hit him over the head with it and then stabbed him with a pair of scissors. And then after that, officials say that she bludgeoned him and then tied him to their bed, castrated him, and cut him into pieces. And that's not even the most graphic thing. I also will say that I think there was an iron involved also at one point. Like, I think she bludgeoned him with like an iron that you use for clothing.
Yeah, no, because the iron was definitely involved. Because exactly. This was page one or one and a half of what I was reading. And then all the other stuff that comes through is very, very intense and very crazy. So the aftermath for this was December 1st, so the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Omaima went to her ex Jose's house and claimed that her husband had raped her, beaten her, and forced her into bondage for days so that she hit him over the head with the lamp and killed him. She said that she then cut him up and put his body parts into trash bags and needed help getting rid of them, like using like a asking a truck or some kind of vehicle, kind of in the same vein as the other suitcase killer.
Well, there is a suitcase. The New Jersey.
I mean, the suitcase does. They are involved.
Yeah.
And to this ex-boyfriend, she went to him, not only asking, "Hey, help me out." She also was going to pay him, so she was offering him $75,000 and 2 motorcycles in return for the help. So,
not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal.
2 motorcycles.
That's a lot. That's more than one. Yeah. More motorcycles than I have. So he at first was kind of like, "Oh yeah, sure," but then like took a second and was like, "What the fuck was I just asked? And what was just said to me?" And sort of like, "What?" So he called 911.
Yeah, he was kind of like, "Yeah, I'll help you. Just wait here." And then was like, "Hello, 911.
Yeah, I would like to report. I don't even know what the fuck I'm reporting, but it is something that I feel like I should call you guys to let you know about.
I would like to report a wild ask.
Yeah. So police showed up, questioned Omaima, and she denied everything and said that Bill was on a business trip to Florida. So good. Business trip to Florida does sound like a convincing thing.
I mean, does it? When you're responding to a call that someone's like, hey, I have trash bags full of human body parts.
Okay, I was just going to say, in general, I feel business trips do happen in Florida, but counterpoint.
Oh, sure.
Counterpoint. It's more believable than Jen Shaw's internal bleeding.
Oh, God. That is true.
Mm-hmm. But police looked inside the red Corvette that was Bill's that she's been driving around and found what appeared to be human organs.
Yikes.
And when police questioned her, she started to change her tune, saying, quote unquote, I don't remember how I killed him. All I remember, I get up, like I said, and I find him, and he's in a trash bag. I wish I knew how I killed him, though. Something inside me told me that I had to do it, like demons. Okay, so then you go the demon route, you know. Then she said she had visions of two women, and she said these two women had blood all over them, and they walk in and say, he must die, he must die. So, you know, it was the three witches of Macbeth coming out.
I mean, like, it's one thing if you don't, maybe you don't remember, like, hitting someone over the head, but then claiming to not remember dismembering them, and worse, that we'll get into, like, momentarily, is just,
oh, yeah,
like, so unbelievable to me.
You made it this far. I'm assuming the gruesome factor of all this is not impeding you from listening, but now it gets a little bit more into it. Investigators concluded that Bill died from at least 25 blows to the head.
Ouch.
That's just, yeah. His hands were found in a deep fryer.
God.
And, okay, well, here's the thing that gets contested a little bit, but in the first place, she admitted that she put barbecue sauce on his ribs and took a bite.
Oh, my God.
That is just, like, I really regret that I ate lunch literally 10 minutes before.
Oh, my God, same. That is just, like, seriously depraved. Apparently, there's a quote where she said, like, allegedly, she said, it tastes sweet or something like that.
Oh.
The Army Hammer?
And also, that was probably the barbecue sauce that tasted sweet.
No, yeah.
I'm just like, yeah. So neighbors told the police they heard a garbage disposal running for 2 straight days, which we can assume why it was running for 2 straight days.
Yeah, that's extreme. Again, it's like, okay, at some point, your memory has kicked in already.
Exactly. If you could piece all this together. More body parts were found inside a brown suitcase.
See?
So
again, the suitcase.
She has her own name. Yeah, she is not the suitcase killer. Maybe, you know, the barbecue killer. As well as in the freezer.
So, oh, you know what she was called? The Thanksgiving Butcher. I read that somewhere on Murderpedia.
Tracks. I'm not going to contest that name.
I mean, it does hit all the points. It's pretty accurate, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And that head that they determined was hit about like 25 times was in the freezer.
Ugh.
And it was first cooked in the deep fryer.
Ugh.
So that's all of that going down.
How big is a deep fryer that you can keep in your house?
I'm assuming it was probably one that like you deep fry turkeys in, because I'm assuming they had it for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And like those, you could put a head in it. And I just know that from Gilmore Girls.
That
not the head
make
part,
sense.
But how big a, yeah.
Ew.
The head also had stab wounds on top of that.
Ew.
And then because she tried to in efforts to kind of like just have his body disappear. I know there was going to be, I think she also said to ask Jose to like help remove his teeth. That was part of the plea she tried to do with him, to be like, help me hide this body and get rid of the teeth so you can do dental examinations. And on top of that, she mixed up body parts with Thanksgiving leftovers and threw them in the trash to kind of, I guess, hide the smell and also just hide the pure existence of them.
Ew.
Investigators also found Bill's ankles were ringed with bruises and the bedposts were broken. Bed soaked with blood, meaning that he may have been the one tied up.
Well, because she told Jose that like he had tied her up.
Tied her up in bondage.
It might have actually been the reverse.
And a thought process of this is that they think it started out maybe as consensual bondage, which could lead him to like being tied, like not struggling to be tied up, you know, mm-hmm. but then she killed him for his money. The DA felt Bill's body was cut so precisely that he wondered if she had done this before. That, because I mean, it is, I'm like, I just feel like from cases in the past and just from watching, like, I don't know, like the, literally like crime shows, you see like you, there are specific ways, like you can't just really like hack into a body unless you have like tools that are designed to like slaughter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if we know what was used.
Yeah, I don't think they ever got to the weapon, because I don't, they never really, I think all the other details shrouded that, because I didn't really find out the specifics of the weapon. And I guess also there was no weapon, maybe that part she did get rid of.
Same, but I mean, there isn't evidence of her having like killed someone before, so I don't really know.
Yeah. And apparently, yeah, so apparently she had a pattern of quickly moving in with sugar daddies, stealing their valuables and breaking up with them.
I will have like a bit of an asterisk here, because I don't really know. I read an outlet that said sugar daddies, but like, I don't actually know if that was really the arrangement or if they were just older men who had money, because she did kind of tend to go after older men because she thought that they were maybe better providers. So
that's true. And also, I mean, because I mean, like Bill was not like, it's like they were just dating and they had money. Yeah.
Just married after like 2 minutes.
I meant the other people probably. You know what I mean? Yeah. The married in 2 minutes. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's like, I don't know if they were actually sugar daddies or just older men, but
that's true.
Who knows?
And she'd also been arrested before for shoplifting from pharmacies. And on one such occasion, she was confronted by two female security guards and quote unquote, almost bit the breast off one of them.
That is like, I've never thought to defend myself teeth first.
Never in my life.
Like, no. Just going straight for the boob. Like, I don't, how?
Right. I go feet. I feel like I always in my head, I do feet first.
Yeah.
And then pray. I don't know.
Yeah, like kick in the nuts. Use my grit boxing or something. Jab cross. Yeah, shout out.
I know. That's literally all I got. All I got to contribute to that. Just hoping that I somehow magically get good at running.
Yeah, that.
And I don't get out of breath going upstairs.
Yeah. Wow. This is like pretty much the most, I don't know, like wild thing that I've ever heard almost.
It, because I feel like it sort of, we've had cases of people doing one of the seven things she did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's really did all of it. And also, because I mean, to the point too, it's like she's 23.
That's so young.
It's so young. So I mean, of course, it's like how that, like what, like how the situation like went down. But then also, I'm like, oh my God, at 23, like knowing how to do, like doing all of it, it's insane.
I don't think I've also ever wanted to eat someone. I'll come out here with that hot take.
I haven't eaten meat since 2006.
There we go.
Craving a body part. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just so wild. And then with the barbecue sauce is so, I can't even.
And knowing, and like deep frying.
Yeah. Ew, I wonder what that smelled like.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Cause like frying stuff does not always smell good. Anyway, on top of that with a fucking body.
Ew.
Actually probably just smelled like fried, like meat.
I don't know. We could ask Armie Hammer.
That's true. We'll CC him.
I don't know. But as far as, so obviously this went to trial. Nelson claimed that she acted in self-defense because Bill was sexually assaulting her. She claimed that he had raped her the night before she killed him. A psychologist who testified at trial said she was having a psychotic episode and suffering from PTSD. And her attorney said that that was triggered by the abuse she experienced from several men, including her husband. That psychologist also testified that Bill would coerce her to perform oral sex. And she claimed that nearly everyone in her family either beat, molested, or tortured her, just like abused her in one respect or another. So she's been through a lot.
A lot, and had a, yes.
And she claimed to have no memory of eating Bill. She said, "I swear to God, I did not eat any part of him. I'm not a monster." And she said she kind of entered into a trance-like state when she killed him and then cut up the body.
Well, that was the part when I was like, then you probably don't remember. You probably were in the trance when eating, if you were eating, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, she was eating him for so long, right? And she was running the garbage disposal for 2 days.
2 days.
I mean, I guess just so, like, you know, they have those, I don't know, there's been reports of people just going into complete like dissociative states for a long time, like days or whatever.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm not, I don't know. I'm not, I took abnormal psych in college, like for one semester. So I'm not an expert here. But prosecutors claimed that she basically intended to rob Bill. And a man that she had previously dated testified that one night she tied him to the bed, then pulled out a gun and demanded money. And he was able to break out of the restraints and get the gun away from her, but he never called the police because basically he was embarrassed. Yeah, and here's like this most bonkers detail that was revealed at trial. Before she chopped Bill up, she apparently put on red shoes, a red hat, and red lipstick.
Oh, God. The red.
The red. I'm like, what? Yeah, red flags all over
red
the place.
Red flags.
All over the place. I'm just imagining trying to, like, dismember someone in, like, Louboutins. Like, that's
and, like, reapplying lipstick. That is really a feat, yeah.
Yeah, that is seriously a feat. Big that femme fatale energy.
Yeah.
So, despite her defense, Omaima was convicted of second-degree murder in 1993. She was sentenced to 27 years to life imprisonment. She said, "I'm sorry I dismembered him. I was in a fight for my life. If I didn't kill him, I would have been killed that day myself." Mm. And here's some real queen shit. Because apparently...
I also died too. Just, I'm sorry I dismembered him.
Yeah.
All right, go on with the queen.
Yeah. Apparently in the 90s, she met and married a man in prison, and he died and like left her a considerable amount of money.
Okay, shout out.
I mean, we've had uglier murderers get married in prison, you know?
Because, I mean, she was a model. She was a girl, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She tried to seek parole in 2006, but was denied because prosecutors felt that she was still a threat.
Yeah, I think I read that she became, like, a born-again Christian in prison.
Oh,
she
really?
She went that route in prison. She went the Christianity route in prison to be like, now I've repented and all that.
Don't they all?
So her attorney for that appeal said that the reason she chopped the husband's body apart was because of an Egyptian myth that said that way she would not encounter him in the afterlife.
There was like a few things that were referencing like episodes regarding Egyptian myths. And this was, I forgot the other one, but this was one of them. She like really didn't want to have to run into him in the afterlife, which like understandable, I guess.
I'm blanking, but I remember there was one that we did recently where this was also something like that was also involved. So then she was denied parole for another time in 2011, and our girl is stuck in the slammer until 2026 to try to get parole again.
What's interesting is like, I feel like between 2006 and 2011, that's only 5 years. But then after being denied in 2011, they're like, wow, nope, you have to stay for a long time.
I know. I wonder if it gets extended more and more for each in like with the severity of her case.
Yeah, who knows?
And a prosecutor at her parole hearing this time around, Randy Pulaski, said she was denied because she did not show remorse, takes no responsibility, and blames the victim. He also said that she had a history of violence even before the murder, and said that she changed her story like so many times that it's very hard for people to kind of be like, so do we believe you for remorseful and just everything like that? He was saying that initially to the police, she claimed it could have been a CIA operation. People came in and he had enemies and maybe wanted him to be murdered. Then she didn't know what happened. Finally, when it shook out, she said she was a battered spouse, even though they had been married only 3 weeks.
I mean, you can still be battered in three weeks.
And I'm like, they were dating for like 2 months before that too. So it's like, you can have an abuser's an abuser. It doesn't have to take a long period of time for that to come out.
Exactly. I will say the CIA nonsense is a little bit like, you lost me.
That's a little bit. I mean, like the man was just, he did marijuana time once. I don't think the CIA is that on this.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah. The DA said that she has failed to complete any educational or vocational classes while incarcerated and has failed to abide by prison rules. So I don't know what the girl's doing in, besides getting married and getting paid.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
It's so much of a doozy and one of those ones too, where you just kind of are like, oh God, you wonder, you're like, oh my God, at 23 is just her. Like this happened so fast too. It was a 2 months thing. And she was 23. And then you're just kind of like, how did this happen? And like, how are you someone that can do all of this and not once like react or vomit or be like, what the fuck am I doing? Or like have the remorse to turn yourself in?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if, I mean, she could have really genuinely been in a trance, but
yeah,
it's also like you did a lot of shit.
A lot of shit. And then tried to hire someone to cover up said shit.
That's true. Yeah, I feel like you're right. It wasn't like an immediate like, oh shit, what have I done? It was like, okay, I'm going to run the garbage disposal for 2 days to try to hide right, exactly. Evidence. I'm also like, with that detail, I was like, I'm surprised this didn't happen in like New York or something, because I feel like in any other city, if your garbage disposal is running that long, somebody would knock on your door and be like, yeah. Cut it out.
Exactly. But I mean, then you couldn't deep fry in New York.
Is that not allowed?
Oh, I mean, where do you have the room in your apartment to have a deep fryer?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I feel like if this happened in 2021, it would be an air fryer.
Oh, my. Truly. 15 minutes at 400. I still kind of want one of those.
I kind of want one too, but I don't have the room.
I know. I don't have the room and I don't have the culinary. I know it's just putting something in and out, but I would not. I don't even know.
I have faith in you. I mean,
I can't. I
feel like if anything, this case has made me not want to eat on Thanksgiving.
That's true. Well, I mean, I've definitely, any person who is listening to this, they no longer have their appetite, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. We should have put a warning, like, don't listen to this right before lunch.
No, do not.
And I feel like since we've gotten so many DMs about this, Not Another True Crime, on Instagram, we have to briefly talk about Tiger King. I think we could probably do a full episode on it, but like, and I'm not done yet, so that is my disclaimer.
Yes, I am not either, and we also want to know, are we all watching the second season? Should we do a full episode? Are people burnt out from it? Do people want more?
Yeah, I mean, it was just really dark, and to like watch this whole like Free Joe Exotic movement literally happened the same day as the insurrection. I was just like, get a grip.
Well, I mean, I think that's also my thing, where it's like they were interesting the first season, A, because we were so locked down and had nothing else literally to watch.
And it was but so also that wild.
It was so wild. It was so crazy. It was such a new story.
Yeah.
And it was people that weren't, they did not have the notoriety yet.
Yeah.
So they weren't like fame. They were fame hungry, but still kind of themselves. And now it just feels like a little too much for me.
I'm kind of with you. What I don't like about Netflix documentaries is I feel like they never, they'll always like, I don't know, take the criticism and sort of go in the other direction. Like this kind of happened, I feel like, with Making a Murderer season 2 as well. I feel like over time people had kind of realized like, hey, Joe Exotic is not this like hero that the documentary is painting him to be. And he's obviously like, mm-hmm. he's done a lot of bad things, especially with regards to his treatment of animals. And the documentary makers feel like to me that they were like, okay, we hear you. And instead, episode 1, we're going to go like turn the dial up all the way on the Free Joe propaganda. And I was just like, I don't think that's the takeaway. Maybe they dial it down like later on, but
I hope so, because I know it's a lot of just kind of like them making it like a silly, funny thing. Versus like, oh, because it doesn't seem like they're taking any of the pushback that was given to them or anything like that. And it's just kind of like, I'm like, it feels also then like not aware. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like they're aware of what is even really happening with these people.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel like if anything, they like put the pushback onto the viewers, which is partially fair, because I think it is important to be like a discerning viewer. And I think a lot of us, myself included, like fell into the trap of just believing what the documentary was feeding us in terms of the narrative. Like they bring up how the Carol Baskin response basically was like pretty fueled by misogyny. But I'm like, are you guys ready to acknowledge the role that you played in that by kind of presenting this theory about her having killed her husband and then not going down to Costa Rica or like investigating these other opportunities? Like there's a reason that we all thought this, and it's because that's what we were told.
That's exactly it. We're like, the only reason that we know that she updated her will to have it like or mysteriously disappear is because he had it printed out and shown in my face. So I'm like, exactly. We're just relaying with that. And then also it's like, they definitely knew they were like making it such like a, oh my God, did she, didn't she, when they were producing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not sure what I think because I have to watch the end of that particular episode. But yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of viewers went super over the top and were like, people took the whole that bitch Carol Baskin thing like way too far, including Joe Exotic.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I also, that was my favorite thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm not crazy about Carol. I don't like Joe. I'm like, I don't like either of them.
Yeah. And I feel like at least for me, I was able to sort of like acknowledge that Joe was a funny character, but still be like, he should still be in jail or prison.
Oh, with, yes.
Like, I don't, like, just because I think he's kind of entertaining doesn't mean, in like a train wreck kind of way, you know, doesn't mean that I think he's innocent. And also, I just wanted to say an additional time, I can't believe how much of his songs they included again. And they're trying to make it seem like he sung them.
Exactly. When we're like, I thought we all decided, we all knew that he was not the musician on that.
Yeah. And I'm like, we're really going to spend 10 minutes with like a montage of Joe Exotic songs and like him in the recording booth when he's clearly lip syncing because his voice does not sound like that.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I know, too, well, I mean, also on like a serious note with it too, that I know he just has been moved to North Carolina to like a facility because of his prostate cancer as well.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Yes. I mean, we'll
like a
we'll
hospice?
See.
What do you mean?
A federal medical facility.
Interesting.
So I think maybe to get treatment for him. Yeah, and the transfer wasn't supposed to be until later this month, but he was sent there. Mm-hmm. And it is, yeah, so, I mean, I guess we'll find out. I know that happened, and he also called out Joey. I mean, funny how I got their names mixed up because they both have similar contributions to society. Donald Trump, he called him out and called him a fool for not pardoning him.
Sure. Like, okay. I don't even know what to say there. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what case Tiger King 2 lays out, but to me it feels like such a conspiracy to have Joe. It would be one thing if he was like, yeah, I technically paid someone money, but it wasn't really for that. I didn't know that they were going to do that or something, but he claims that he's like really completely innocent and this is just a whole like convoluted plot to set him up.
That's the thing. I'm like, I don't think there's people doing that much to go against, you know what I mean? Like,
Jeff
you're not
is shady, but also, and he, I don't know, I guess he could have done that, but also like Joe had already lost the zoo at that point. Like, he'd already lost that case against Carol. So I'm like, what do you get by putting him in prison with this like huge plot? Maybe I gotta rewatch Tiger King 1. But I don't know if I have the energy.
Oh, God. I do not have the emotional bandwidth for that. But maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Let us know. DM us at Not Another True Crime if you think we should do a full episode or if you're over it. I'll probably put up a poll or you can tell us in the group.
Yeah.
Not Another True Crime.
We'll take it to the people.
On Facebook. You know what we do have the stomach for? Jorge, and a game.
All right. So, for today's game, I think we can all agree that Omaima cooking her husband was maybe not the most tasteful thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, we are playing a game called In Poor Taste.
And oh, boy.
This is how it's going to work. Throughout the years, we all know that celebrities sometimes do things that might not be the most advisable or the most thoughtful. So I'm going to give you the name of a celebrity and three things that they have allegedly done. It's going to be your job to find the one of these three that is not true. So basically two truths and a lie. They're all things that they have done in very poor taste. But one of them is completely made up.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. So here we go. The first one that we're diving into is Lindsay Lohan. All right, here we go.
Love.
Did she defend Harvey Weinstein after the allegations came out, saying, "I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on." Mm. Or defended Woody Allen, saying, "How do I feel about Woody Allen? I love Woody. I believe him, and I would work with him anytime." Or defended Donald Trump, saying, "This is our president. Stop hashtag bullying him and start trusting him. Thank you personally for supporting hashtag the USA. As an American, why speak poorly of anyone?"
Yikes. Wait, so she did two of these? Or
two of these are true 100%. One of them is made up.
Yikes. None of them would surprise me.
No, yeah, I'm going to go with Trump just because he's the only one who doesn't do movies. So I would assume she would defend, because I'm pretty sure she did. I feel like I've heard the other two.
I could hear her defending Woody Allen because I don't think she's been in a Woody Allen movie. I'm going to go with she didn't defend Harvey Weinstein, but I feel like that's wrong, but I'll just go with it.
You are both incorrect.
What?
She did, in fact, defend Harvey Weinstein, and she did, in fact, defend Donald Trump. The one that was fake was the one about Woody Allen.
Huh.
Wow.
Interesting. Not where I thought that line would be, but okay.
Yeah, I thought she would have tried to get in his Amazon show with all the celebrities that are now famous. That they're like, "Oh my God, wait, he's bad." Timothy Chalamet, go on.
Yeah, that quote is real. It was said not by Lindsay Lohan, but by Scarlett Johansson.
Of course.
Notable Asian American actor.
Very much in poor taste. All right.
God.
We are tied at 0 points. Next up, we have Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, all right.
Here we go. Jimmy Fallon. Did he wear blackface impersonating Chris Rock in an SNL skit in 2000? Did he get into a drunken bar fight in New York City in 2014 and sucker punched a bystander?
Oh.
Or did he get arrested for shoplifting at Hermes in 2006?
He didn't shoplift.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that he did the Chris Rock thing, and I've heard that he has a bad drinking problem. Allegedly. Don't sue me. So I'm going to go with Hermes.
Allegedly.
You're both correct. Well done. He did wear blackface impersonating Chris Rock, which is pretty insane to see the pictures and to see the skit at this point. It's insane.
And to see it on the fucking highest rated, that was on the highest rated show, too.
Yeah.
The fuck?
It was, I guess, 2000 now was 21 years ago, so it was a fair amount of time ago, but it's not like the
it's
80s,
enough time.
You know?
It's not like it was 1720.
Right.
It
was 2000.
Yeah, I think it's still advanced enough in time to know that that's not okay.
Also, when was it, 2018, they tried to hire someone who was actively racist? So.
Yeah. Not the best track record. Yeah. SNL, get it together.
I know. Love Bowen Yang, though. He's great.
True.
Yeah.
All right, tied at one, both on the board. All right, next up, we have Shia LaBeouf.
What hasn't he done?
God, yeah.
All right, here are the three things. Got arrested while drunk at a Walgreens in Chicago when he was 21 while trying to buy cigarettes.
There's too many details in there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's suspect.
That's also, if you're listening and you have never been drunk at a Walgreens trying to buy something, you're lying to us.
Yeah, but have you gotten arrested trying to do that? It seems like a pretty simple transaction.
We need a Patreon to tell us about the Walgreens arrest stories.
All right, next up. Got arrested at a Broadway performance of Cabaret after smoking inside and slapping Alan Cummings' butt.
Oh.
Hmm. Or got arrested after being stopped for speeding in Arizona and offering the police officer $10,000 to let him go without a ticket.
I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think that he slapped Alan Cummings' butt.
Yeah, I feel that one would be joked about more, and I don't.
Yeah, we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
Well, you're both incorrect.
Damn it.
He did, in fact, slap Alan Cummings' butt as he was walking to stage. Because I don't know if you guys saw this, but this performance of Cabaret actually took place in like a little cabaret area. So the actors walk past the audience, and apparently, yeah, he was incredibly drunk. He claimed that he had just flown over from Ireland and he had been drinking whiskey. And then he just like landed in Manhattan and went straight to this performance of Cabaret and was like super drunk and drank some more. And then he slapped Alan Cumming's butt because he said that he was the sexiest man he had ever seen in his life.
Well, I mean, he just got back from Ireland, so he really was. And Alan had that accent, so.
He's Scottish, though.
Oh, you're right. Well, when he's drunk on a plane, Scottish and Ireland, Irish accents sound similar. And I'm Irish and Scottish, so I can
there
say
you
that.
Go. The one that was fake was the speeding one. He did not.
Wow.
He was not caught.
Because wasn't he like on some crazy like cross country road trip or something a couple years ago? Do you guys remember what I'm talking about? No.
Vaguely.
Like a TV show it was?
I just feel like I remember there was coverage of him just like being all over the U.S. And it was like, what is he doing? Where is he now? Whatever. Shia I'll have to LaBeouf. Look it up.
It has been a while since Even Stevens, huh? How far he has come.
I did just watch Holes recently.
And Christy Carlson Romano is really on the YouTube journey.
Yep.
All right, we are still tied at one in poor taste. So next up, we have Kanye West.
Oh, God.
All right, here are the three things. Number one, claimed Bill Cosby was innocent. Number two, claimed that slavery was a choice since it lasted over 400 years, or claimed that Trump is the Messiah.
I think he did those other two things because I feel like I remember them. I don't think he said that Trump is a Messiah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too. Even though he did like him, I think he's trying to tell people that he and himself is a Messiah.
Yeah, so true. There's only one God in Kanye's mind, and it's Kanye.
He famously does consider himself to be Jesus. Or Yeezus. God, sorry.
Hey, God, show me the way because the devil's trying to bring me down. Jesus walks.
Right?
That song was so, I mean, oh God.
I know. How are we like surprised now that he thinks that he's God when we were all like, Jesus walks, just like jamming in middle school.
Oh my God, truly.
Kanye, I do have to say, some of his music has to be some of the best music that's been produced in the last 20 years. Like, he really is such a talented musician. But come on, like,
you're like Scarlett Johansson. No, I would love to work with him. Just kidding. Woody Allen is worse than Kanye West, and I will say that 100 times a day.
That's true. But he did in fact claim that slavery was a choice. Yeah. He was like, how did this happen? It was 400 years and like you all just did it.
It's like, that was because that's like when he went into TMZ's office and just talked. That was like terrifying. Yeah, that was,
I remember that was like interview. When he would go on those like TMZ rants. I feel like this was one of those.
All right. Well, we have one more.
Oh, God.
To decide in poor taste. And the final celebrity is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you three quotes from her. And as you know, one of them is made up. Number one, I'd rather smoke crack than eat cheese from a tin. Number two, I'll never forget it. I was starting to hike up the Red Rocks, and honestly, it was as if I've heard the rock said, you have the answers. You are your teacher. I thought I was having an auditory hallucination. Or, smoking kills. If you're killed, you've lost an important part of yourself.
I'm gonna go three is not true because of another famous quote I know of her.
Because I was gonna go with the Red Rocks one because that just doesn't really sound like something she'd say. I know she said the cheese thing though.
I know what she said the cheese thing
because I can't. Because
I know she like smokes a cigarette once a year or once a week. No, once a year. I think. But then I guess she would also mean that smoking kills then. I'm going to stick with smoking kills.
You are correct. Oh, well done. That is true. I can't believe you even know that she says that she smokes a cigarette a week. Apparently she smokes one light American Spirit every Saturday night.
You know, we all have our thing.
Yeah.
We all do have our thing.
I eat cheese from a can, so.
Yeah, like.
That quote actually came from Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields did actually say, smoking kills, and if you've killed, you're killed, you've lost an important part of yourself.
Dang it.
Which is true. I mean.
That is true. Wrong.
No lies detected, I guess.
Hey, you know, I'm not going to fight it.
And she did, in fact, say that quote about The Rock talking to her and telling her that you have the answers. You are your teacher. Like, she's a little.
Yikes.
Weird.
She is weird. And she's just like, you gotta. I feel the issue. I'm like, just don't listen to her for health stuff. Just listen to her for the lols, guys, and then she's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can all make fun of her. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't buy her expensive treatments.
Well, and I think that's also the thing. She's now at least in a place where she's more in on the joke than I feel like she has been before.
Yes.
That's probably true.
I feel like she just plays a satirical version of herself now sometimes, you know?
No, without a doubt.
I feel like she just blurs that line, so.
Yeah.
Whatever. I like a little bit of self-awareness.
You know what? And I like people. I mean, she has enough checks, but. Her checks keep clearing, so shout out to her.
Unfortunately, she's not paying us with those checks.
No.
Maybe one day.
If she wants to.
I know.
We'll take jade eggs. I'll just sit them on my counter and not use them, but if she wants to send them.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll make a good paperweight. Why not?
Ooh, right? Like very Easter cheek. Decor. Yeah.
Well, Danny, you won this one.
Yeah, Danny, you are the winner of In Poor Taste. Well I'm in done. Poor taste. You know celebrities just so well, Danny.
Oh, you know me and all those canceled celebs. we're close.
Man, I feel like I still can't eat ribs ever.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I'm done. Oh. I'm sorry, I'll never forget it, but I
that's why
I think I don't usually eat ribs anyway, so
that's true.
Not losing out on that much.
That's good bonus. Yeah. But yeah, let us know what you thought about this episode, Tiger King 2. We're curious if people are watching or people are into it. So let us know about all that in Not Another True Crime group or DM us at Not Another True Crime. And you can follow me on Instagram at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K.
You can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lameme. And otherwise, I think we're done on time. Not yet done on the wine, but.
No, I'm about to pour myself a glass because I'm going to Target to get Christmas decorations and then just decorating with wine. So it'll be.
Exactly. But otherwise, we thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe. And other than that, we'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lameme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@betches.com. Betches.